Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol here in the studio. We'll kick things off at Anfield. Of course, the big game in the Premier League on Sunday. Liverpool taking on Manchester United. It certainly did not live up to expectations. Overall, a terrible game, lacking any sort of quality. We'd see the spoils shared then, a point apiece. A good result for Arsenal, who'd won earlier in the day, meaning that they are 1 point clear of Liverpool. And Aston Villa are in third after their victory against Brentford. This was rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was frustrating, is what it was.
Certainly from a Liverpool perspective.
Oh, just my goodness. Talk about frustrating. You've got to give credit to United. At the end of the day, you've got to defend. And we're always complaining how nobody defends anymore. Well, they did everything that was needed. They got their head in the way. They got challenges in. They closed the ball. And I think the most important thing, though, was every single one in white, all 11 of them, worked for each other.
Right.
And did their bit defensively. And I kind of go back to when last week Bruno got his yellow and was suspended, I was teetering. And I remember saying to Craig, is that good or bad for Liverpool? And of course, I guess at the time we thought, well, it's bad for Man United. But in the end, when I think about the performance from Manchester United today, it was probably the best thing that happened to them. Because every man, Jack, one of them, did the job defensively. And I don't believe you can say that Bruno Fernandes would have defended better than either McTominay, McNew, or Amrabat, because one of them wouldn't have played if he had been available.
Do you say McNew?
Magoo. Right.
Magoo. I know.
It's because it's
not. But listen to Dalot. Listen to Dalot.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
If we're picking up on names,
just put a muck in there. He turned him Scottish.
You've got to give that young boy a lot of credit, though.
Most definitely. He looked good, didn't he?
He's played well coming in, and he's got very little experience. I thought this was a big credit to Man United. They came into Anfield in disarray, with injuries, players missing, out of form, bickering, all the things that you don't want. And Stevie's right. You know, the fact that they had a main playmaker out gave them a bit more solidity. And McTominay did a job getting between the middle of the park and supporting Højlund up front. And I thought the back four defended their penalty box really, really well. But Liverpool were poor. The first 15 minutes, 10 minutes, you're like, right, this is it. This is, they're on top here. There's corner kick. There's a wave after wave. And you thought, but then United were able to sort of weather that. And then it sort of went a little flat. And if you think back to the game at Palace, Stevie, recently, I think it was last week.
Yep.
It took till Jordan Ayew was sent off for them to actually create anything.
70 minutes. Huh?
And they went on to win the game, but it was certainly not convincing. And when you look at that performance today, with all the possession that they had, yeah, United defended deep, but they really ran out of ideas. I mean, Nunes is going... There's a lot to like about him, but he's got the Alvaro Morata's about him. His understanding of when to be on the shoulder and playing the offside. He gets caught offside a lot, an awful lot. And add that to his lack of prowess as a finisher or consistency, that's a bit of a problem. But I just felt this was Liverpool's game to go and take with the scruff of the neck. But Man United, I thought, bearing in mind where they are at the moment, I thought they did a brilliant job and as you said, had the best chance of the game. Unfortunately, Højlund's not got a Premier League goal. Yeah. And it shows. He's nervous. He's like rushing it when he gets in that key area. And if he doesn't change that, he won't score goals on a regular basis. But boy, oh boy, this is a big result for them, for Man United, because everybody thought they were going to get trounced by 4 or 5.
What was wrong in the final third today, Stevie?
Just very predictable. Nothing out of the ordinary. No imagination. I mean... To Craig's point, Nunes. I mean, Man United, I think, were about 15 yards from the goal line, and he managed to get himself offside then as well. And I kind of, when I saw that, I thought, oh, it's going to be one of these, certainly for him. But just in general, there was no imagination in the play. Listen, from back middle to getting to the final third,
yeah.
I mean, they were completely and totally in control. But after that, predictable. You know, we talk about Antony coming on his left. Salah was doing that all day as well. Luis Diaz was trying to drop the shoulder and come inside on your mate Dalot and kept losing the ball. And as Craig said, Nunes, you know, he does prefer it when there is some space in behind, which there wasn't because Man United were so deep. So, look, at the end of the day, when you've had so much of the ball and you get to the final third as many times and as regularly in the 90 minutes as Liverpool did, there's a reason you pay Salah, Nunes and Diaz the big money. And that's to produce. Mm. And it's okay to say, well, they were deep and they had men behind the ball, but you don't get paid an expectation of winning the Premier League or the Champions League. That sort of excuse doesn't really get you a pass. You didn't produce when it mattered most, and you have to say that and be honest about it.
When you're looking at a couple of games, when we could maybe argue or debate that Szoboszlai's been their best player this year, right? And he's had two or three really quiet games. Mm-hmm. He was quiet at Crystal Palace. And even today, he's passing and was just a little bit off and the timing of his passing, his runs. And I think when that's happening, put it one way, I don't look at that Liverpool midfield three, certainly not this three, and I know it's not their best three. I don't think this is going to carry them to the title. I mean, I know they've got players to come back in, but that three in particular, as a three ball in there, I don't think that's going to work for them.
When I've asked you in the past who is more likely to catch City, you said Liverpool over Arsenal. Does this sort of performance change that?
Well, yeah, because they're going to be coming up against, on a regular basis, defences that will try and do what United do. And you have to be able to break them down. And they've shown in this game that they couldn't do it. But again, I'll go back to my main point, where I think Liverpool's biggest problem will be, is defensively they give up opportunities. You know, to have... I mean, I think the stats said Liverpool had 70% of the ball. It felt like 80 or 90. But the fact is, if Hoyland has got some composure and figures it out, Man United take 3 points from this game. And that's, again, that's just the honest truth. So the fact that they couldn't break them down, the fact that they are still giving opportunities away, means that, for me, probably Arsenal edge Liverpool and City.
I tell you what, though, give them a lot of stick and a few of these players, and I think deservedly the United players, that is. He annoys the hell out of me, Antony, and one or two others with their attitude and their sort of the way they swan around.
He's Mr. Nice these
days. But I tell you what, fair play to him, though. He could not... Any of those guys, Garnacho, who's a youngster, he's going to work hard. All these guys, even Antony, working back. All right, final third going forward in the second half. I think he picked the wrong ball a couple of times, like Stevie said. Right. Otherwise, Liverpool could have been in more trouble. But he worked hard for the team. He got back, he made tackles, he had good shape about him. All those things we were not seeing. Some of these guys were swanning around. And if we're thinking about the stories that floated around and were floating around about Ten Hag's lost the dressing room, he certainly hadn't lost that 11 today.
Mm.
But he had two centre-halves who are, I think John Champion in commentary said, I think 199 caps between them. He had two centre-halves that know how to defend.
Yeah.
Not going to run away for anybody. And if you're going to try and play a high line, then Johnny Evans is screwed. But they were never going to play that game at Anfield. They were going to sit on the edge of the box. And Varane, who has been out the team for whatever reason, I can't answer that question, him and Evans defended crosses and defended and blocked extremely well, but getting Luke Shaw back in recent weeks as well has been huge for him.
The key for Ten Hag is to keep this lot at the standard of attitude that they showed against Liverpool. And if they do that, then they've got enough ability where they will win more games and get themselves up the table. But the problem is, if you play for one of the big guys, it's not about having a good attitude away at Liverpool or home at Liverpool or at Man City. Those are games that should be a given. Because if you're not up
it's
for a game
against
like
Bournemouth.
That, it's home or away against Bournemouth or Brighton or Crystal Palace or whoever it is. That's when you have to show that type of attitude. Because if you do that, because you have the extra talent, that will get you points. That's what he's got to do now. Take this into the next lot of games.
But I also, Stevie, I just don't think it's... attitude's a big thing, right? Mm. But I also think one of the problems this current crop of United players has is when they do open up against even mediocre teams, they're getting caught.
Yeah.
They're getting played around. Now, today, it was slightly easier because nobody was expecting them to go to Anfield and go toe for toe. So that pressure was gone. They knew that they could go there, play a defensive game, and were not going to be criticised for doing so. They can't do that against the majority in the Premier League. And when they have opened themselves up and tried to boss games, they've been caught out. So we'll see how he goes forward with that. But it's a big day for Ten Hag because 7-0 last time out, 4-0 the time before. This could have been messy for him. If he said he wasn't worried about it all weekend, he was lying.
Any sympathy for Dalot, Stevie, for those quick yellow cards that he got?
Not really. Come on.
Well, actually,
as soon as you do it the first time.
It was right. It was a United throw. But then there's the first booking, Stevie. And then he goes again for the same thing.
There's no sympathy for the second one. I get the first one.
Yeah.
Get the first one. You've run your guts out the whole game.
It comes
you're nearly,
off, watch,
you're
watch.
Nearly. The finishing line is right. The finishing line is right there. And then you get a call like that. So, OK, I'll let you off with the first one. The second one is just not on. That's just... No. No.
See, in the old days, you could have and the referee would have went, cool your jets, old chap.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're trying to get... You know, the managers are getting booked.
Yes.
And the players kicking the ball away, we saw Nunez. In fact, Salah kicked the ball away at one point during the game, got away with it. I don't think Michael Oliver saw it. But any sort of dissent, the new directives are, you're getting a yellow card. If you're showing dissent to the referee or you're asking players to be booked, it's quite simple. So he's got no complaints.
So Liverpool missing out on the opportunity to go back to the top of the table as the number one spot is now occupied by Arsenal after their 2-1 victory against Brighton. It was a frustrating first half for Arteta's side, but they made the breakthrough here. Gabriel Jesus, 8 minutes after break, 1-0.
Yeah, and actually the corner came from a position that Odegaard, in my opinion, should have scored. But they got the corner out of it, and Jesus heads it home.
And Kai Havertz, a little bit of confidence here.
Yeah, I think since he came off the bench and got the winner against Brentford, he's been back in the side and he's looking a little bit better and the crowd are not getting on his back. And good for him, he's certainly looking a little bit more confident because he looked a little shell-shocked after the last few weeks.
So Arsenal 2, Brighton 0, exactly what you want. No problems, no fuss, 3 points, thank you very much.
Well, there was a little bit of fuss for quite a period, but what I would say is I haven't seen anybody, I haven't seen any team in the Premier League that have not allowed Brighton, and we saw the stats there at the end, 50-50 possession,
but that doesn't, still.
certainly not for the first hour. I've not seen any Premier League team that have denied Brighton possession or territory as well as Arsenal. They couldn't get out, Brighton. Now, they're one of the best teams at playing out under De Zerbi. They normally boss possession. They normally create chances. Arsenal, I saw them do it against, I think, Wolves at home, who are obviously not as good as Brighton. They just smothered them in their own half. They play such a high line. They shut it down. James Milner played left back, which was felt a bit sorry for him because they were trying Saka and one-on-one. But Arsenal, you know, you've got to say deserve it. You've got to earn it. And they got the Gabriel Jesus goal comes from the flick from Van Heek, from the Brighton player. But they were the better side. And they played well, created chances, were wasteful in the final third. Mm. Or this could have been, they could have had herself at least 4, maybe 5. So, yeah, a good bounce back after their defeat at Aston Villa. And rock solid at the back again. David Raya didn't have much to do, certainly to my memory. And Gabriel just gets himself a goal. So pretty much a perfect weekend for them.
Anything you want to add?
Yeah, anybody never saw this game and looks at those stats, don't be fooled. I mean, that 50% possession Brighton had, maybe 5% of that was in the opposition's half. It was all in and around their own penalty box. So, yeah.
And I know every week goes by, but what I mean, we have, you know, we've talked about Havertz a lot on the show. Obviously, we've talked about Raya a lot. You know, it's a lot of money, but Arsenal are not in this position. And if Arsenal win the Premier League, Declan Rice, the signing of Declan Rice, has been the smartest bit of spending money I think they've done for a long time, because he does everything in there.
Do you think he starts against Liverpool?
Who?
Kai Havertz.
What?
Did you?
What?
I actually wasn't listening entirely.
Clearly.
I was thinking about that. Is that what you said?
Declan Rice. No, yeah, I was talking about Declan Rice.
I beg your pardon.
Who does? I thought you were going to say.
I was thinking about Havertz. Like,
well, I was talking about Declan Rice, and you said, do you think he starts against Liverpool? Do I think Havertz starts? Yeah, yeah.
Also today, we saw Aston Villa put in a professional performance once again, coming from behind to beat Brentford by 2-1.
Ooh.
They didn't get it all their own way.
No. You got a bit lucky, Dan.
OK, all right, let's take you through exactly what happened. What a finish this is.
Yeah, fantastic. The biggest thing about this is there's absolutely no back left. It's a good first touch, but look at that. Just goalkeeper has no chance to react.
This then changed the game.
I mean,
Yeah.
Right decision. Obviously, yellow given initially. VAR would check. Upgrade it to a red.
Oh. Game got nasty after this.
Oh.
Yep, absolutely. And look, you know, that's why VAR's here. Referee didn't quite see it at full speed and goes as a little trot, as a look at the monitor. Not a difficult decision.
13 minutes to go. Villa get themselves into the game here. Moreno.
Yeah, a nice little ball to the far post. Nobody knows Moreno's there. He actually does well. He comes in from a wide area. And this just sets them up for that late burst.
5 minutes to go. Ollie Watkins with a goal.
Great little flick on. Watkins, former Brentford player. And as I said, it all got really messy at the end of the game.
Yeah, it all started.
This is brilliant.
Go on, Craig.
Leon Bailey, he almost scores the greatest, one of the greatest ever on goal. Mopey.
Keep thinking that's going to go in.
Mopey, he goes down like a sack of potatoes, right? A big goalie. What's this? I said, look at Leon Bailey. Look, what's it? What an on goal that would be. Now, the big goal, Martinez is never far from a bit of controversy.
Yeah, he loves it.
This is where it started. Now, he comes up. Mopey, that's a 10 out of 10. Now he tries to drag Mopey up. And then, now they all get involved again. Kamara then puts his hands on somebody's throat just there, so he goes for a red card. All because a goalie got involved.
There you go.
There you go, there's the hand in the throat.
Yeah. Emi Martinez stirring it all up. But it's another victory for Unai Emery's team. As I mentioned before, that puts them level on points now with Liverpool getting the victory there. You said lucky, Stevie.
I didn't see them scoring in this game until the red card. I really didn't. I thought Brentford pretty much dealt with everything they had to throw at them. And I just didn't see Villa. Listen, I thought because there would obviously be some sort of charge towards the end because they're in a position because they're strong. But I had no way at 1-0 that I think they could win it. Could they snatch a point when you're only one behind, maybe? But no, the sending off totally, in my opinion, changed this game.
What a weekend then when it comes to the Premier League title race, which is certainly well and truly on. According to the bookies, City are still favourites at 6-5. But remember, they've been long odds on at the start of the campaign. And then it's Liverpool who are second favourites ahead of Arsenal. Oh, sorry, no, Arsenal second favourites, then Liverpool, then Villa at 14-1. Poof. Has anything changed? Has this weekend changed anything for you as to who's going to win it?
Do you know, City continue to just... If I was a City fan... Actually, if I was the manager, I'd be concerned. We sit here and we have done and said they can't keep a clean sheet. Now, this game was so bad for so long. It was a training game. But as soon as City get a punch in the nose at the moment, they look vulnerable.
Yeah.
And Crystal Palace never, ever looked like they were going to get back in this game. It was so one way. But as soon as they get the Mateta goal, then it's panic stations. And unfortunately for them, several or two or three of the really good defenders that have been solid for certainly 18 months or so are not playing particularly well. And so everybody's talking about Kevin De Bruyne coming back. That's fine. But they're going to have to plug the gap at the other end. That's their biggest problem.
So back to my question, has it changed anything?
Yeah, I think so. I think it continues to change. I think Arsenal are starting to play better because Arsenal are in this position and they've only, for a long period this season, they have not played the type of football we know they can, right? So they're starting to hit a little bit of momentum now and players are back fit, most of them, back playing with confidence. Villa are sort of a fly in the ointment.
Yep.
Liverpool, we know, are going to be there or thereabouts. And so I think that's a big problem for Man City. They're going to have to put one of these runs together that you sit back and go, wow, that's amazing. And they don't look likely at this moment in time.
You know, the most important thing for them, and I think Guardiola, of all people, should figure this one out. When they get that punch in the nose, this is a team that, at the best, you can't get the ball off them.
Right.
And so when they get a punch in the nose, what the best teams do when they're at their best is they take the air out of the game by passing the ball and keeping it away from the opposition. But even in this game, when that first goal went in, all of a sudden, they're not quite as confident. And that is huge. So if you stick a little bit of... they're kind of questioning themselves. Mm. And you also stick on top of that the fact that defensively they're not at it. That's a problem. And he has to figure that out. And that's how to do it. You keep the ball, don't give it to the opposition.
Well, it's a big test for him because last year he had one team to worry about.
Yes.
And currently now he's got at least three. Mm-hmm. At least three that are in there that are competitive. So he's got to worry about all. Last year it was only, are Arsenal going to falter? And when they did, City were there. He's got a lot of work to do because these other guys all fancy their chances. And at the moment, City are the poorer of all the four teams.
City, of course, not involved in the Carabao Cup midweek. It was Newcastle who knocked them out. Some mouth-watering ties you live here on ESPN+, including Newcastle against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, Port Vale against Middlesbrough, Everton, Fulham. Then on Wednesday, it's Liverpool against West Ham. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
For 24 hours, well, at least Real Madrid are top of La Liga table. That's after a convincing 4-1 victory over Villarreal. Jude Bellingham added yet another goal to his tally. An impressive night for Carlo Ancelotti's side. One negative, though, David Alaba would limp off in the first half. No news as yet as to how serious that injury is. Mario Suarez joins us, the former Atleti midfielder. Real Madrid are going to win the league, aren't they, Mario?
Yes, I think... they deserve the win, and I'm sure that Carlo Ancelotti and all the Real Madrid fans are really happy right now because they do, for me, an excellent performance, scoring 4 goals with your key player, with your star like Bellingham scoring, with players that normally don't play, like Brahim scoring, playing attacking football. Now they are on top of the table, and I think they must be happy. Except from the injury of Alaba, I think today is a really good night for all the Real Madrid fans.
It's comfortable today, wasn't it, Craig?
Very. Worryingly for Villarreal.
Yeah.
Too comfortable. The Bellingham bandwagon rolls on. Bram Diaz has done a great job coming in, really coming in from the wilderness and giving them something different at a time that they've needed it with the injuries that they've had. And Rodrigo has stepped up, and that was all the big questions that we had. Who was going to step up when Vinicius is out the side? And we believe he's out to February, and Rodrigo has done that. But one of the other sides of Jude Bellingham I don't think we discuss enough is he's got an edge to him.
Very much so, yeah.
He's got a fire in there, he's got an edge to him, and I know the boys and Robbo talked about it in commentary about taking him off because he was already on a yellow card, and you could see Villarreal were putting some challenges in him, and he was kind of getting a little bit frustrated with the referee as well, and he's got that edge to him, and I think, you know, if you took that away from him, you wouldn't see the player that
you want that.
Yeah, you want that. He's a winner. It means a lot to him, you know, even when they're winning games, and it just means a lot to him, and I just like that edge that he's got, and I think he's got the perfect manager to manage that. You saw when he came off Ancelotti putting the arm around him, said, like, you know, you've done your job, bigger fish to fry, but this was I mean, when Villarreal got that goal just in the second half, you thought, right,
yep.
Are they going to fold Real Madrid? But they did not. Then that kicked them on.
Mario, we take a look at the stats. Jude Bellingham, top goal scorer in La Liga, 13 goals, three ahead of Borja Mayoral in second. What is it that makes him so difficult to defend against when he's making these runs from deep?
Well, as I said before, I think the best thing that Bellingham has for me is that he's in the place he has to be in every moment. He has freedom, he arrives to the goal from second line, and that for a defender is very difficult to mark, a player like that. He's very strong physically. He works. I don't know. I think now he's also, as I said, in the right place in every moment. So I think Real Madrid must take advantage of this, because I don't know if he's going to still score in so many goals, because it's not normal. I didn't expect this. But at the moment, it's true that he's incredible, and I think he's the best player in Europe right now, maybe.
Always seems to have space, Steve.
Well, if you notice, every time he gets on the end of something in the box, he's moving forward, which is, again, why he's hard to pick up, because he's not got there already, he's not standing waiting. He's on the move and he's running forward. And so for defenders who are static, even if they're anywhere run about, and particularly for challenges in the air, he's always going to win it because of his size. Mm. So, yeah, tough to pick up when he's going in the box.
Real Madrid, meanwhile, have struggled, haven't they, with injuries throughout the season. The last thing they wanted was another name added to that extensive list. But certainly, it didn't look good, did it, for David Alaba, Vinicius Junior, Camavinga, Carvajal, Gula, Militao and Courtois. Of course, long-term absentees from Carlo Ancelotti's squad. And Mario, losing, obviously, Alaba would be a major, major blow for Real Madrid.
Of course, because we are talking that Real Madrid is on top on the table, is qualified for the next round of the Champions League. And we must remember that they are playing without the best goalkeeper in the world for me for a long time, without Militao, that is one of the best defenders for sure, without Vinicius for a long time. So now, if they lost Alaba, they only have Nacho and Rudiger as a centre-backs. So let's see how they do. Maybe they will have to sign another centre-back in the transfer window of January. But despite this, their performance amazing. As I said, they are on the top of the table. And with all the injuries and the important players they have out. So I think this speaks really well about Ancelotti, about the squad, and about the players they have.
I think it puts more pressure on Xavi, doesn't it, in some sense, being the biggest rivals, because...
Yeah, most definitely.
He's talked about...
Are they still in this race?
I don't think they're a good enough side at the moment to bridge a 9-point gap. Maybe another time, I would have said yes. But with all the issues we've discussed with Barcelona, I don't see them recovering 9 points in just over, you know, half a season.
Yeah.
You can't see where the next win's coming, can you?
Not, I mean, there's not... There's
of course, it'll be 9 points if you're only win tomorrow.
Yeah, what is it now?
So seven points between Madrid and Barca. If you're only win, then it's nine points.
9 points for... I got my maths wrong. Oh, silly me. But I even 7 points, I still think it's going to be tough. But, you know, we talk about... You know, Xavi's moaned and groaned a little bit about injuries and blah, 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 and he has had them. But when you look at what Ancelotti's had to deal with right down the spine of the side, and also they sold, you know, got rid of Benzema in the summer, so that was another gap to fill. And then the injury to the goalkeeper, the injury to Militao, now Alaba, the injury twice to Vinicius and two separate hamstring issues, he's missed the side. Yeah, he's had Jude Bellingham has come in and done something that's you could call phenomenal, certainly up to now in the goals he scored. But I think anybody at Barcelona that says, well, look, this is down to the fact that we're missing him and him and him, I think the critics will just say, well, hold on a minute. Real Madrid are in the same boat, but they're coping.
Yeah.
So what is the difference and why? So when this bandwagon continues to roll on, it puts Barcelona under even more pressure. But yeah, at the moment, I think 7 points is a huge gap for them. Could be nine, as you mentioned, when Girona play tomorrow. And they are arguably the most watchable team at the moment in La Liga.
Most definitely. Mario will say thank you very much. As Craig mentioned then, the big game tomorrow sees Girona in action, looking to go back to the top of the table as they take on Alaves. That game will be live at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bayer Leverkusen remain top of the Bundesliga table after a 3-0 victory against Frankfurt. Meanwhile, Bayern bounced back after their defeat against Frankfurt last weekend to beat Stuttgart 3-0. Let's get some reaction from that game. Archie Rintart caught up with Thomas Tuchel. But first, Harry Kane.
It was a really good performance today. You know, a tough team. We knew it was going to be difficult at times, but I thought from start to finish we controlled it. We limited them to very few chances, and you know, on another day we probably could have scored a few more as well. So, especially after the result last week, it was important to bounce back in the league, and it was nice to do that at home today.
Is 5 hours a long time without a goal for you this season?
Yeah, it feels like forever, to be honest. We had the two Champions League, we had the league, and then we had the game cancelled. So it's been it feels like it's been ages since I scored, but that's part of football. I said it last week, you know, sometimes the ball drops through, sometimes it doesn't, and it was nice to obviously get back on the score sheet today.
Thomas, given what happened in Frankfurt last week, I can't think of a single clear opportunity that your team conceded both against Manchester United and today.
Yes.
What a response.
What a response was needed. I mean, we did a ridiculous amount of individual mistake of critical ball losses in Frankfurt. The reaction after the ball losses was by far not on our level, that is, and not on the level that is needed in terms of hard work, in terms of helping each other out if mistakes happen. So we needed to step up. We did in Old Trafford and we did today. We had a bit of difficult preparation because some players were out, then they were last minute in, some were in and last minute out. And so we played, we decided in the end to play a clear-cut 4-4-2 defensively, which was maybe not the best tactical shape against Stuttgart, but we compensated with teamwork, with effort, and we made it lively, and this is by anyway the most important. We played very serious, we put in a lot of effort and hard work, and as you said, we managed to not allow any chances.
So then, Bayer Leverkusen remain top of the table. They are 4 points clear of Bayern Munich, although, of course, the defending champions do have a game in hand. For more on what we saw today in the Bundesliga, Archie Rintat joins us now.
Oh, he's still got it on.
Oh, he's still with his Christmas shirt on. Lovely, Archie. Beautiful.
It was only an hour ago.
Very festive.
What am I meant to do?
Archie, what would you like to say about this Bayern game?
Bayern were very good. And I'm surprised, actually, at how well they've responded to that Frankfurt defeat last weekend. And that fact that they were so solid, despite the fact that Leon Goretzka and Joshua Kimmich both dropped out of this game late on with the flu. And in comes 19-year-old Alexander Pavlovic making his first start for Bayern. You wouldn't have known it. Seamless. To the point now where you're thinking, Joshua Kimmich hasn't played in Bayern's two best performances this season. Away at Borussia Dortmund, where they won 4-0. And then at home today against Stuttgart. Stuttgart, a team who've created chances against everybody in the Bundesliga this season, regardless of what resources. So I think for Thomas Tuchel to have a level of calmness in that game as well, from the way that they were just ruthless when they did get their chances for the most part. Very impressive that Harry Kane is able to quiet any waters as well by ending that little goal crisis that he'd had. It helps, but very impressive from Bayern, and throwing up questions now as to, well, should Joshua Kimmich be fit to face Wolfsburg during the week? Should he regain his place because Pavlovic and Guerrero did so well in the centre today?
We've been waxing lyrical about Jude Bellingham almost running out of superlatives. The same could be said for Harry Kane. 24 goals in 21 matches, Archie.
Yeah, it's of course sensational. And sometimes you do think, how hard can it be to mark him, right? When you see him free at a set piece, there's a part of you wondering, well, how has this been allowed to happen? Surely there should just be two people on him at all times. But the thing about it is that it's not just the numbers, it's his all-round play as well. He's a keen golfer, and he does have a lot of tools in his bag as well. That shows I don't watch golf, doesn't it? But the way that he's got so many different just skills to his game, for the way that he's able to play these cross-field balls, for example, and switch the play so effectively, there's just so many elements that are impressive to him. Goal scoring is, of course, the most important one. And I thought at the start of the season it was fanciful that he'd be after Robert Lewandowski's record. But the way he's going, I think it would be a surprise almost if he didn't break it, such as the form he's in. So, yeah, he's settled better than anybody could have maybe expected at Bayern. Like, sure, he came for big, big money, but he has justified that price tag. Mm.
That would really make Lewandowski's season, wouldn't it?
Nick's
his great record, and he's having a bit of a torrid at Barcelona. But, look, it's no surprise, clearly, that Kane is scoring goals at Bayern. You know, a team with better players than Tottenham. So better service, better support network. Always difficult, though, to go into a new club. I think the amount he's scoring is maybe a little surprise. No surprise, certainly, that he's in the right place at the right time. And when it gets to the real crunch, the game in hand, you're chasing Leverkusen down in the Champions League, that's when I think you're really going to find out about Harry Kane, because he's a guy for the big occasions.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons that Bayern spent a club record amount of money on him.
By Leverkusen, though, remain top of the table. You take a look at the Xabi Alonso effect. It's quite incredible, isn't it? 24 games, 21 victories, 3 draws. How much credit should Alonso get, Archie?
Lots and lots. There isn't enough that you can give him, because this is a club which has always had a problem with converting its potential into something meaningful. The nickname Neverkusen has stuck with them for a very long time, going back to 2002 when they famously came second in the Bundesliga, the DFB Cup and the Champions League. But there is now growing belief amongst neutrals that Leverkusen could do it this season. And the way that the new signings of Grimaldo, Xhaka, Boniface, Hoffman have all just slotted straight into the team, I think there is a Xabi Alonso effect in terms of the authority that he has over a group of players who will probably have grown up watching him. And when you're getting that advice from him on the training ground, and also, as we're told, Xabi Alonso is still very much one of the best players for them in training. I think it makes a difference when somebody is able to actually show that they are as good as their words as well. And it's a very unique and fortunate spot that Leverkusen are in. And the only question mark over them will be, how are they going to cope when they lose players to go to AFCON? And indeed, how will Bayern cope when one or two goes to AFCON, but also to the Asia Cup in the new year? That could be, in what is a very tight title race right now, that could be a deciding factor.
It is, of course, the last round of matches for the winter break midweek. Where are you going, Archie?
Midweek?
Yes.
Do you mean?
Yes.
I'm watching at home.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
I've done quite a lot of travelling. I know, right?
Archie, thank you very much. You can all watch at home with Archie. Not at his home, but on ESPN+. We've got all the matches, of course, live for you over Tuesday and Wednesday. It's about the two matches we'll be playing at the same time. Bayer Leverkusen against Bochum, and it's Wolfsburg against Bayern Munich.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meanwhile, big statement from Inter today, a 2-0 victory over Lazio, certainly supporting their title chances. Elsewhere, Milan with a 3-0 victory over Monza, and Jose Mourinho's Roma losing 2-0 against Bologna. What does all that mean? Well, you take a look at the table. Inter then 4 points clear of Juventus, 9 points clear of AC Milan, their city rivals. Gab Marcotti is with us to reflect on that victory for Inter. Take us through it, Gab.
Well, look, Lazio's whole game plan, Maurizio Sarri made a big call on dropping Luis Alberto, said we're gonna attack Inter with the wings, we're gonna get the whole Olympic Stadium behind us. But this is Inter. Inter are completely unfazed. It doesn't matter that there's players missing. They're ready to pounce on mistakes. Big mistake that they took advantage of. With Lautaro scoring the first goal on an errant or blind back pass to the keeper Provedel, and then Thuram adding a second, and Inter never really looking back. We've said it before, this Inter team look so accomplished, they look so comfortable, they're never phased. I don't like all these metaphysical explanations, but I think last year, reaching the Champions League final and playing Man City to a standstill for 70-plus minutes, it's a pretty big confidence boost.
So are they better than last year then, Gab?
You know what? I think they kind of are. Çalhanoğlu's reinvented himself in the Brozovic role. I think Marcus Thuram is a phenomenal player and really gives you... he gives you more consistency and more unpredictability than Lukaku or Dzeko the year before. Lautaro goes from strength to strength. Barella has grown as well. They've got other guys that can come in at the back, Jan Bisek. And Fede Di Marco, again, showing why, in his position, he's got to be one of the top two or three players in the world. So I'm not the biggest Sommer guy, but overall, yeah, they may be better than last season.
Right then, let's get down to business, Gab. I believe this was your fourth draft because the first three you mucked up.
Oh, no, I only mucked up once.
There you go. Your Champions League dream draw. Here we go.
All right, starting since you're obsessed with Paris Saint-Germain, I'm going to start with them. Who do they get? Well, they get Manchester City because I think City are the best team in the competition, and I want them to have as tough a draw as possible, which is what makes winning it that much sweeter. But so many subplots, of course. Pep Guardiola against Luis Enrique, Erling Haaland against Kylian Mbappe. Oh. You got to absolutely, absolutely love that.
Yeah, you can keep going, Gab.
Real Madrid against Copenhagen. So the Minnows, Copenhagen, you don't expect to get this far, but they did. So how about a nice day out to the Bernabeu and Mr. Carlo Ancelotti? I got Real Sociedad against Leipzig. Real Sociedad, I love what they've done. I think they were arguably the best team in the group stage, and they get to take on the evil empire that is Leipzig. I've got Bayern against PSV Eindhoven. Peter Bosch, never liked the guy, but he hasn't set a foot wrong this season. And he takes on Thomas Tuchel, who I like a lot, but has made a ton of mistakes this season. Arsenal against Porto. Well, somebody's got to play against Porto, right? No, just kidding. Sergio Conceição, I think he's turned things around. I love the idea of Pepe still being out there, still scoring goals, and seeing how he comes up against Gabriel Jesus. Barcelona against Lazio. I think Xavi needs a pick-me-up, and I think Lazio are just the team to give it to him. Atletico Madrid against Napoli, fathers and sons. Gio Simeone taking on his dad, El Cholo Simeone. How about that?
Yep.
And Dortmund against Inter. I would have said, until very recently, this is a clash of the two teams that always break your heart, that always underachieve, that always screw things up. Inter, no mas. They're not that anymore. And they'll have quite a test against Borussia Dortmund, who, of course, turned around well in the Champions League, but are still blowing hot and cold, mostly cold, in the Bundesliga.
I will, of course, be discussing the
very
draw
similar to mine, that,
in length on Monday. Yeah,
I think Gab's given that a little bit more thought.
Well, that's a surprise. How many seconds have you dedicated?
It was
just going back to the Real Madrid game. We've had it confirmed now. David Alaba is out for the season with an ACL tear. This is, of course, another injury that Carlo Ancelotti has to deal with, and that's a massive blow.
Well, it did look extremely serious when we saw it. Obviously, we'd never speculate. But the way that it happened without the contact, his reaction straight away, and then the way that the doctors and the physios literally carried him off the field, it looked, as I mentioned at the time, not exactly the same, but going back to his defensive partner and Militao, something kind of similar, where he goes in, but it was Militao slipped, it looked like Alaba's left boot just got caught in the turf. Just here, and then the left knee goes forward, and he knew straight away.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another hammer blow for Real Madrid, and for, particularly for the player.
Gab, Carlo Ancelotti's going to have his work cut out, isn't he, to take Real Madrid across the line if these injuries continue?
Yeah, no question about it. I think at this point, without Militao and without Alaba, I don't think there's any question. You got to go to the sporting director. You got to go to Florentino and say, Presi, we need another center back. They're going to have to move on the market, and they're going to have to get somebody reliable. I would assume, knowing Ancelotti a little bit, he's going to want to go for some kind of veteran that has the experience. But obviously, it's a cliche. It's not easy, and it's often expensive to shop in January.
Real Madrid, of course, are in action at midweek, as are all La Liga sides. In what is the final round of matches of the calendar year, they're away against Alaves. Meanwhile, before that on Wednesday, it's Barca against Almeria. All these games live on ESPN+. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned. No, Gab's back, the boys here as well, obviously, to answer your tweets for extra time. We'll be right back. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. So many papers,
I've noticed, like, you, particularly on a weekend, you get yourself in a right...
Well, it's because they come in while I'm doing the show. So not only am I trying to host the show and carry everything else, trying to sort out my papers as well.
What a great job I do.
I know. How are you, Gav? How's your weekend been?
It was lovely.
Good.
Lovely weekend here, and no shopping yet. Went to Chelsea against Sheffield United yesterday, which was an absolute stinker.
Yeah.
But got to see Christopher Nkunku pretending to warm up.
Oh, that's nice. I imagine you're in a corporate box, aren't you, Gab? You don't sit with the riffraff.
I went undercover amidst the people.
Wow. Okay, look at that. You think Gab Marcotte, you think man of the people. Wait a minute, Manchester United didn't lose, Craig.
Went undercover.
Price to me. Wait a minute, Manchester United didn't lose. Craig, what are you doing here?
Oh.
Lots of nice things came into Manchester United.
Yeah, it's your fault. Came in to praise them.
Yeah.
Did a very good job today.
Excellent job.
So, yeah.
Gab, should the FA do what's right and revoke the yellow on Dalot?
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, I just want to clearly understand this, right? Does it say in the law of the games, in the laws of the game, that if you get booked for dissent, oh, look, I've already been booked, so I can go and shout whatever I want at the referee. Now, we haven't had the referee's report. I want to see what PGMOL says. But just because you get booked once, right, you made the show of dissent with his arms and stuff, presumably he said something as well. If he also said something after he'd been booked, I think the referee is within his rights to go and give him a yellow one. And, you know, it sucks when you're the first guy that it happens to. But I'll tell you what, like, we see this all the time. Players getting booked for dissent or whatever and saying it's a license because he's not going to dare show me another yellow straight away. Well, now it's happened.
He made the same action twice.
Right.
With the, you know, basically the,
yes,
the hand. Which, the first one he got booked for, and then in that time between the first booking and him doing it again, he hadn't quite figured out in his own head that that's what he got booked for the first time.
Right.
So, when he saw the yellow card coming out and he does it again, it's just... And this is the director now from the powers that be. Is that more respect for officials from managers and more respect to officials from players.
Yeah. And to that point, Darwin Nunez may be lucky, Stevie, after he was clapping the referee after the booking.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that the referee didn't see him doing that.
Okay.
And obviously the linesman chose not to let the referee know because
Liverpool bias.
He could have done that as well. So, yeah.
For Stevie, should Liverpool be worried about their attack when Salah goes to AFCON in January?
Worried's probably not the right word.
Petrified?
Certainly today should give them food for thought. Not just on Salah, but in general. But yeah, I mean, it's just going to make it a little harder, let's put it that way.
Right.
Worried's the wrong word.
Okay. Food for thought.
Food for thought.
Food for thought, Gab?
I think they should be worried now about how they've been playing with Salah, with those guys, albeit without McAllister, who I think is a big loss. Liverpool have ground out a whole bunch of results, but as Jurgen Klopp himself has pointed out, they're not playing well. They're not playing well, and you can turn it into a positive and say, oh, look, when we finally do start playing well, imagine how much better we're going to be. And you hope that that's what's going to happen if you're a Liverpool fan. But I don't think they're anywhere near the level that Jurgen Klopp wants them to be at. And it's not just the defense that people have criticized in the past. I think it's the front three as well and the support that they get from the midfield.
So, memory says me right.
Okay, here we go.
I guess I'm involved. I got a memory like that. You said
you're done. Me.
No. You're taking Liverpool's front three over Arsenal's. That still stands.
Well, I don't want Jesus.
Who do you want? Nunes over Jesus?
I don't want Jesus.
You said you're taking Nunes.
I don't want Jesus. No.
Well, it's
Well, how can you tell me what I'm saying if you don't let me say it?
Well, it's
yeah, but it's... You're not taking Jesus.
They come as a package.
You're not taking Jesus.
It's a who's package. Playing? Who's playing up front?
You're playing Salah. Have Eddie. And I'm going to put Saka on the left.
Oh, so you're playing Salah through the middle.
No.
Who's playing striker?
I'm playing Nunes in front of Jesus.
Hold on a minute, Dan.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I would rather play against Jesus any day of the week.
But Nunes can't Nunes score.
Than Nunes. Well, don't ask me the question then. You ask me who I'm picking, and I've told you. Saka on the left, Salah on the right, Nunes through the pipe.
What if they came as a package?
What are you talking about? They came as a package.
So you have to have the Arsenal front three or the Liverpool front three?
You've muddied the waters here.
No, no.
No, not me. Him. Me.
Right. Well, you ask me a question, I'll give you the answer to it.
Nunes over his.
Let's be quite honest here, right? Saka, Martinelli and Nunes, Jesus, aren't performing the way they did last year either.
Just answer the question.
Well, because Gab's just been talking about Liverpool as far as an attacking force is concerned, that they've not been at their best, which you can argue. I mean, they are. But apart from today, they've been averaging three goals a game at home.
Right, what's the answer to the question?
Well, the answer is the one I gave you.
But you can't.
I can do what I want. I'm picking it. No. I'm taking Liverpool.
There it is. We got there in the end.
I'm taking Liverpool.
You're taking Liverpool's front three.
Well, as I've just told you, the Liverpool's front three at home have averaged three goals a game.
Right.
Which is more than Arsenal.
Okay.
So is that what you want?
Why are you getting so angry about it?
Well, because
I just said that at the start and left.
Because what he does is... What he does is he does it all the time.
I haven't even got involved in this.
He was the one who started it.
As per usual, he changes the goalposts midway through the game. He does it all the time.
This has got nothing to do with me.
He's an expert at moving the goalposts in the middle of the game.
I knew that would get him going.
It did. For all, is Harry Kane that good, or does he just look like that playing in a lower level league?
Oh, he's good.
Get out of
Holy
here.
Holy smoke.
Mm. Oh, come on. Listen. The guy's been doing it for years in the Premier League in a side that has not been the strongest. And he's done it for England.
Yeah.
But many. That's just... That's just crazy.
Gab?
Well, all right, let me turn it around. Is Erling Haaland that good? Or does he just look that good playing in a lower level league?
Oh.
I'm channeling my inner Derek Ray here.
There you go.
Look, obviously, if you move to a dominant team and you're a good center forward and people create lots of chances for you, you will score a ton of goals regardless where you are. And that's what Harry Kane did and that's what Erling Haaland did.
Who would you have?
I didn't answer the question, Gab.
Would you have that Arsenal midfield?
Why didn't you ask Gab to answer the question?
What?
Ask him to answer. He never answered the question.
Why?
All he told you was...
Well, I think he did.
Is Harry Kane that good?
No, he never.
Well, I think he did.
No, he didn't.
Harry Kane is that good. He scored a ton of goals in the Premier League. Now he's scoring a ton of goals over there.
Sorry?
I don't know what you're getting angry for.
Shouting at the clouds.
With Kane and Bellingham scoring an outrageous amount of goals thus far, how do you perceive the two linking up for England, Gab?
Well, Jude Bellingham moving to an inferior league. I'm just kidding. I think it's a really good question because obviously Bellingham is tasked to play in a different role. So do you try to replicate the Bellingham Bellingham role with England? Bearing in mind that England do have a genuine high-end center forward who plays through the middle, albeit a guy that you can do a lot of different things with, and Real Madrid do not. I think if they're playing for a club team, if they're playing together, it would be fascinating because, you know, you could see Kane dropping off, Bellingham going forward, whatever else. I think with England, given that it's our Gareth who's in charge, I would imagine he'll be more conservative and keep playing Bellingham where he's played him thus far, a little bit further back, more as a midfielder, and leave sort of Kane to kind of get his service from England's wingers, who also happen to be very good.
Clearly, Arsenal need to finish more of our chances, but we're at a plus 20 goal differential with only Liverpool bettering us by one goal. Is this really an issue, or does it just feel like an issue?
I think part of that was they missed Jesus and Martinelli, particularly Jesus with injury for a sustained period. So they haven't had a lot of consistency. But yeah, today's game was perfect example, really, of being wasteful with a lot of good play. Extra pass, extra touch, trying to maybe walk it in rather than taking the strike. And I think if they are going to win the league, they will have to be more clinical in that area. But, keeping those guys fit with the likes of Trossard and Nketiah and maybe Smith Rowe and others that can come in and possibly contribute, I think they have to have an element of goals from the middle of the park as well. I don't think there's a doubt about that. And very few teams will win the league just with a striker carrying them all the way. So Arsenal are going to have to get some goals from other areas on the side.
I think we've got to remember that last year we weren't expecting Martinelli and Saka and Odegaard to score as many goals as they did. Mm. But now that they've done it, we're kind of expecting them to get close. And as the question asks you, does it feel like it? It does feel like it, although it's not quite as big an issue as it could be.
Gab, is Mourinho done? It's so confusing in Rome right now. What is going on with this team? What happened to Renato Sanchez? He came on at half-time, then was subbed 20 minutes later.
18 minutes later, Renato Sanchez was absolutely terrible in those 18 minutes. He's been bad all season long. Jose Mourinho came out afterwards and says he apologized to Renato Sanchez for sending him on and then taking him off after just 18 minutes. He said, I made a mistake. It's not fair to him. I'm sorry, Renato, blah, blah, blah. I know how humiliating it is for a player, and it's something I've only had to do 3 or 4 times in my career, yada, yada, yada. So we're all talking about that, not talking about the fact that, Roma have slipped down to 6th place now, I believe, and that little Bologna with their team of no-names and Xerxes and Fergusons beat them and are up to 4th in the table. As far as Mourinho's future is concerned, his contract is up at the end of the season. Look, the Friedkins, the Roma's owners, have spent a ton of money between wages and transfer fees under Mourinho. For that, they got a manager capable of reaching the Europa League final and, of course, winning the Europa Conference League, and managers who's adored by the fans. But the reality is, not always the easiest to deal with. So Mourinho now has kind of upped the ante. He said, if I'm not here next year, it's not going to be down to me. It's going to be down to them. So if I were the Friedkins, I'd be tempted to call his bluff and say, hey, Jose, here's a contract. I'm not going to put any stipulations in there about how much money I'm going to spend. In terms of your salary, you just write the number down that you think you're worth, and let's take it from there. I think unless somebody better comes along, I think Mourinho would want to stay. I think the fans are still very much on board with him. The question is, there is somebody who is writing all those checks, and Roma can only sustain losses for so long.
Stevie, did you tell me the story of when you subbed someone off after bringing them on and you regretted it straight away? I can't remember.
I didn't regret it, but I felt bad.
Right.
We were playing in, not Colorado, where Nedim used to play, Salt Lake.
Oh, Salt Lake.
We were playing in Salt Lake and we were 2-1 up with, I'm going to say, 15 minutes to go, maybe even 20 at a stretch.
Right.
And I put a player on and I said to him, right, we're just going to try and hold on what we've got. Do not get ahead of the ball. Which basically means wherever the ball is, you need to be at the worst in line with it or behind it.
Okay.
Because I want you to be defending. And so for the next, I'm going to say 15 minutes, he proceeded to be nothing but ahead of the ball, was out of position. They were coming down the side. I put him on for fun. And I'm sitting there with Paul and I'm going, I'm going to have to take him off. And Paul's going, you can't do that. I said, look, if we leave it the way it is, they're going to score.
Right.
They've already had 2 or 3 opportunities and I'm not going to make the decision because of why. So that I'm not nice to the guy. I said, no, I don't have a choice. I can't let it happen. So I took him off with 5 minutes to go.
Did you win?
We did.
There you go.
We won 2-1.
You passed that in from, no, but it's a serious question.
Absolutely.
In that period when he was doing it, did you tell him several times, hey, I told you?
What, absolutely.
He still kept doing it?
Well, he kept nodding his head, and, yeah, hi. And then, of course, he'd go past again.
Is it a lost in translation thing?
No. No. So,
well, that's an easy
one. And I explained to him afterwards. I said, look,
right.
I said, I'm sorry, I know you're probably embarrassed. I said, but at the end of the day, and I told the rest of the team, by the way, I said, look, I've got an obligation to the team, to the owners, to the fans, to everybody, to win a game. And if me making a decision that means we win the game, then regardless of how horrible it looks or how embarrassing it is for anybody, I've got to make that decision. And that's why I made it. Now, not all the boys in the dressing room agreed with it, because obviously he was friends with them, and he obviously wasn't happy. But, I mean, how clear do you want to make
it? Did he play for you again?
I can't remember. I don't remember.
You might have hurt his feelings.
Oh, I mean, hey, you've got to be a big boy. You make mistakes, then you've got to take the consequences, like we all did, right?
Final question. Next time someone says we should get rid of VAR, should we just show them Rodrigo's goal from today and then tell them to shut up in Stevie's voice? Rodrigo's goal.
Absolutely.
VAR had a good weekend, didn't it? I don't think there was any... It was kind of nice. You were just hoping like Liverpool and United wouldn't be an official's decision that would...
Yeah, there's an interesting... I saw an interesting one from... I think it was a tweet from our colleague Ian Dart today, who was getting frustrated that the line's been drawn on a field.
Oh, yeah, I know. I didn't
quite get that.
I think offside is the easy one, isn't it? You're off.
I mean, I know the automated one is super accurate.
Yes.
City
one took years yesterday.
That City one was a tight call, but it just seemed to take...
Yeah, but they're going to have automated VAR offsides in the Premier League next season.
I think it's still up for debate, and what kind of automated VAR you're going to have. Incidentally, on the subject of VAR, in the Empoli game, I think it was today, there was the absolute closest VAR call that I've ever seen. I mean, it literally was literally hairs on the guy's leg. And I think the nice thing about automated VAR is that nobody's going to argue with it. It's kind of like goal line technology, you know, where we just assume, even though the machine has a margin of error, by the way, where we just assume, oh, no, look, goal line technology said no. Okay, fine. Let's not actually have a discussion about it. And I'm sure there have been goal line technology calls that we're wrong because the machine was wrong because it has a margin of error. And if we can get to the same level with automated offsides, then, you know, nobody's going to question that. And we can move on and argue about other things, like whether the striker was interfering with an opponent or, you know, what constitutes dissent.
Seems a no-brainer, doesn't it? Yeah. Bring it in and then off you go. Yeah.
The amount of people that want to go back to the old ways, though, is quite scary. Just to get the enjoyment back.
Yeah, so you can celebrate goals properly.
Does anyone... Have you met anybody that thought that the one at Newcastle wasn't a sending off yesterday?
One at Newcastle wasn't a sending off.
The challenge by Raul Jimenez.
Sebi was not happy by that.
I didn't think it was a sending off.
We've met the person.
Did you not, Stevie?
No.
That's a sending off.
Initially. Well, I thought he had...
That's why I asked. I wanted to meet the one person on the planet.
My interpretation of what happened was that... He's left the ground thinking the other guy's going to do it, and then I think as he's in the air, he's somehow, just physically, you can't...
Can you just demonstrate?
Get your body out the road. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you lie down and I'll drop it. I will demonstrate if you're involved, no problem. Uh-huh. So that's why I didn't think it was a red. I thought it was a yellow. I wouldn't have sent him off. I don't think...
I mean, it wasn't quite Schumacher Batty style, but it clearly was not as bad as that.
No.
Once you leave the ground like that, I didn't bring it up because we haven't discussed this.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he was going to say. But I heard some people in England talking about it. I think it's as clear as day.
There we go.
I thought he was on...
Gab, do you want to just bring in just to break the tie here?
Yeah, what did you think, Gab?
I'm with Craig. I thought it was a red card. But I also want to say on VAR, and you've been praising VAR, Jimenez got elbowed in the head
Just trying to be nice.
You started this conversation with, oh, it's really quiet with VAR.
I know. And then it all goes wrong. OK, that's it. We're done. Tomorrow is the Champions League draw, ladies and gentlemen. What a moment for us all. Girona in action as well as they're looking to go back to the top of the table. We'll be discussing that and a lot more on the next edition of the show.